Order of the House Revenue Committee today. Welcome everybody here. I understand we were on the radio on Friday with our tap tap hearings. Did anybody hear about that?
I heard you.
What was that about? Tapping?
I don't know.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
You sound wonderful on the radio. Your voice has a great timbre, and you sound like a radio announcer.
I didn't hear it, but I heard about it.
You were saying nonsense, of course. You know, open the public hearing, close the public hearing.
Just you have April 3303. Should it say 3033?
3033, yes, it should. That's an interesting one. Thank you. Elizabeth, what are you doing up here?
No, I'm doing all.
You are?
Okay, you just pick and choose.
Okay.
Boy, Joanne, yeah, it's really good. I filed that a few
years. Yeah, well, it's just underneath the... okay, our internet public is probably wondering why we called the meeting to order and we're sitting up here just jabbering, putting our files together, and then we will be on our way.
And that's funny, because usually I am here.
Okay. Let's start with a work session on House Bill 2168. I'll open that. If you remember, this came to us a couple of weeks ago from the Housing Community Services, and we also heard at the same time House Bill 2171, and I asked for some amendments to remove the revenue impact for the coming biennium in House Bill 2168 so we could get it across the floor and then leave this as a vehicle for the Senate to be able to restructure as our budget comes together in the next couple of weeks. Senate will have possession of it. And if we're able to accommodate some revenue impact in this, then the Senate can put that back in. Is that about right, Elizabeth? Would you tell us about the Dash 1 amendments?
Mr. Chairman, and committee members, with House Bill 2168, you do have the Dash 1 amendment, and that's exactly what it does. It's just bringing back to current law the limit of $6 million instead of the $8.2 million, which was proposed in the bill. So there is no revenue impact on this bill.
But the other changes in 2168 with regard to the qualified assignee are still in place.
Correct. That's correct. That's really all it's doing. It just adds qualified assignee to lending institution as being eligible to claim the low-income housing corporate excise tax credit.
All right. This was the chair's announced intention with respect to these bills, and again, it's an effort in working with the Senate to try and get them something that they'll have as a vehicle as the budget comes together to perhaps be able to do some more with, because this is good stuff. But I wanted to get this bill moving and across the floor to them. So is there any discussion on House Bill 2168? Committee members? Jack Kennedy, did you want to say anything? You don't have to. Okay. You are aware of the game plan. Okay. All right. If there's no discussion, we're in work session. We have Dash 1 amendments before us. Representative Berger?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I move that the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2168 be approved.
Representative Berger moves the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2168. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Berger?
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2168 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Berger moves House Bill 2168 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Bergen?
Aye.
Barr?
Aye.
Hobson?
Aye.
Huff?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Aye. We'll reflect Representative Williams and Hass as excused. We'll try and pick them up if they get back in before the adjournment. So we'll, House Bill 2168 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Do we have a carrier on this? Housing? Low-income housing? Representative Scott? You got it. Okay. Close the work session on House Bill 2168. Let's do House Bill 3033 quickly. This is our first getting stuff for the Senate. Elizabeth?
Mr. Chairman, just so everyone knows, too, I did kind of be dyslexic here in my numbering of this particular staff measure summary. So it is House Bill 3033. And we have the dash one amendment. And what this is basically doing, Representative March was in here before and testified on this bill, that he just really wanted to deal with this issue pertaining to Oregon Student Assistance Commission and the Oregon Opportunity Grant Program. So basically with the dash one amendment, it's deleting any of the revenue impact in the bill. So it's deleting that elimination of the corporate excise and income tax credit for the premium tax that is paid on fire insurance premiums. And so basically that was the revenue impact of this bill, and that's why it was sent to revenue. But now we've got these dash one amendments, which basically is deleting that, and then it changes other requirements for the Oregon Student Assistance Commission in determining the financial allocation to the Oregon Opportunity Grant, and then it specifies that the Oregon Opportunity Grant program shall have fixed amounts allocated annually for the grants, and it applies to Oregon Opportunity grants awarded on or after July 1st, 2003. So this is really an appropriation issue. Yeah.
So the chair's intent would be to request a motion when we get there to adopt the dash one amendments and then move the bill. And we don't even need to make a recommendation. Ways and Means just wants the bill for appropriations purposes, since it now is just an appropriations bill. Anybody want to speak on 3033? Okay. So our purpose here today is just to move it to Ways and Means. Chair, move the dash one amendments, I guess, to House Bill 3033. Is there any discussion on the amendments? Any objection? Hearing none. So ordered. Does the committee feel informed enough about this to even make a recommendation? I don't particularly. We didn't hear any testimony on these amendments. I don't mean to suggest that we're opposed to it, but not having taken testimony in it, since it is just an appropriations issue at this point, if everyone is satisfied, I'd make a motion to I'd move House Bill 33 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee without recommendation. Okay. All right. Is there any discussion on that motion? If not, please call the roll. Kathy.
Representative Arnold?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Barr?
Aye.
Cass?
Aye.
Hobson?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Berger? Aye.
Votes aye. House Bill 33 goes to the Ways and Means Committee without recommendation as amended. Close the work session on that. And Chair requests unanimous consent to return to the work session on House Bill 2168 to allow Representative Haas to vote. Any objection? Hearing none, Representative Haas, we moved House Bill 2168 to the floor with a due pass recommendation unanimously. Do you want to vote on that?
Sure.
How do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. Vote aye. Close the work session on House Bill 2168. Okay, let's go to House Bill, let's go to 3183. Elizabeth?
Hey, Chairman Shetterly and committee members, with House Bill 3183, you have no amendments, and this is the change in the corporate apportionment formula. And we've heard this bill a couple times, and as we've discussed before, we have a static revenue impact as well as the feedback effects. So basically with this bill, it's increasing the sales factor of the corporate apportionment formula from 80% beginning in That is beginning now in May of 2003 to 90% sales and 5% payroll and property factors that's going to begin May 1st, 2005. It increases the sales factor of the corporate apportionment formula to 100% sales then beginning May 1st, 2007. The property factor does not apply to the apportionment of business income after May 1st, 2007 and is repealed on January 2nd, 2012. It outlines then the conditions in which a payroll factor is used in determining state taxes for Oregon businesses. So basically with the revenue impact, it is not as large as what we saw from last session when we were increasing from 50% to the 80%. But this revenue impact begins in 2005-06 at a total revenue impact of $5.8 million. In 2006-07, it goes up slightly to $5.9 million. But then in 2007, because we're going up to 100% sales, then it goes up to 11.4 and then 11.1 in 08-09. And again, this is smaller due also to we've seen such a reduction in corporate income taxes recently, so then that factors into our forecast then and the forecast of this apportionment formula change.
Okay. So again, no revenue impact in the coming biennium.
Correct.
Okay. And really, again, my intention on this is one of our So this is one of the two bills we have up today that have revenue impacts in the out biennium. These are two that I think are easy enough to get started over to the Senate, and they'll still have to get put together with the budget not only for this biennium, which of course won't be a problem, but I know Ways and Means is looking at the next ones too. But we've got time to get moving some of these bills if we're going to get them into the mix. So that'd be my intention today if the votes are still there. Representative Verger?
Mr. Chairman, I move that House Bill 3183 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Verger moves House Bill 3183 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? I think we heard this one pretty extensively. All right. If there's no discussion, please call the roll.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Verger?
Aye.
Carr?
Aye.
Pass?
Aye.
Hopkins?
Aye.
Pass?
Aye.
Verger?
Aye.
Treasurer?
Aye. House Bill 3183 goes to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Do we want to have a carrier?
It's his bill.
Oh, well, it's your bill.
My bill.
It is your bill. Tell you what, in fairness today, let's make Farr the carrier on 2168 because he had his hand up. I think he was our housing guy last time around.
Perfect.
That's right. Representative Scott, you've got your bill.
Okay.
All right. Close the work session on House Bill 2183. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2043. Pay as you drive. Yes?
3183.
Yes, did I? I meant to. What did I do? Huh?
2183.
What's 2183? We just closed the work session.
It was just a slip of the tongue.
Okay, well, whatever it was. I said whatever it was the right thing to say. And I'm chair. So I can do that. You know, that bill. Okay, 2043. It's also, I'm confusing myself by moving in and out of the agenda here, but 2043 is before us. That's the Paisley Drive. We do have amendments on that, Lizbeth,
yes.
Correct?
Yes. Chair Shetterly, with House Bill 2043, you have the -5 amendments, and we've heard this bill a couple times, but again, what this is it allows a corporate excise tax credit for corporations that provide motor vehicle insurance based on the number of miles traveled or time-based rating insurance plans. It specifies that an eligible corporation must provide motor vehicle insurance policies that are at least 70% based on a mileage-based or time-based rating plan. It is limiting that corporate tax credits to $100 per vehicle or $300 per policy. The credit can only be claimed once per policy, and it's restricting the excise tax credit to $1 million for all tax years, and this is the change then with the -5 amendments as it's beginning on January 5th, 2005, and before January 1st, 2010, where the original bill was beginning in tax year 2004. So basically also with the -5 amendment, it's clarifying that the limitation on the total amount of the tax credit is the actual amount of credit that can be claimed, not just allowed, which was the language in the bill. And then in our prior hearing, we had an amendment dealing with the tax, having the tax credit be able to be sold, but that is not incorporated into the -5 amendment. That again, the -5 amendment is just extending the tax year out 1 year, beginning in tax year 2005, so there's no revenue impact, no 305 biennium, and then you also have the clarification in the tax credit being the amount that has to be claimed and used. So for the revenue impact in 2005-07, it's maybe roughly an estimate of 3,600 vehicles that would get this policy of insurance change, and that would be $360,000, and then 07-09, an additional 6,400 policies for $640,000 for the cap of $1 million.
Okay. Now, thank you, Elizabeth. I want to make sure what we're doing. We have dash ones, we have dash twos, we have dash threes, mm-hmm. dash fours, and fives.
And so, Chair Shetterly, mm-hmm. the dash ones and stuff are already incorporated.
Okay.
The -5 okay. is all that summarizes, I think, all the discussions that we had. Like the -4 was dealing with selling the credit and things, and so with the dash.
Well, obviously, but
-1 originally was.
-1 is taken care of. I can see that in the -5s.
Right.
Matt, have you followed all these through?
Yeah.
Why don't you come on forward? I want to make sure we get these just right because obviously the twos. And threes and fours have more language in them. Okay, Matt, please.
Chair Chatterley, members of the committee, for the record, Matt Blevins, Legislative Affairs Director with the Oregon Environmental Council. Chair Chatterley, my understanding is that we had had discussion about some extended additional amendments, but that the Dash 5s incorporate all of the amendments that we currently want to insert into the bill. And again, those were summarized by Legislative Revenue.
Okay, so I see the Dash 2s were the carry forward. We're not doing that. Dash 3s were the sale of the tax credit, and we're not doing that. And the Dash 4s were, of course, like a combination of,
right.
of the 2s and 3s. We're not doing those. So we're just to the 5s, which are the 1s and the 5s. Okay. All right.
Mr. Chair.
The Representative Hess.
I move we adopt the Dash 5 amendments to House Bill 2043.
Representative Hess moves the Dash 5 amendments to House Bill 2043. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none. Representative Hess.
Mr. Chair, I move we send House Bill 2043 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hess moves House Bill 2043 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Berger.
Yes, I just want to say for the record that I really do believe that the mileage-based insurance, this bill, is a good bill for urban areas and congested areas. And if I were voting today for any of those things, I would vote for it. I just cannot vote for it for my district. We are a rural area. We do not have alternative public transportation, and we have people having to commute to Eugene and many miles to just to get employment. And for those reasons, I will have to be a no on the bill.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, we will wish congestion on your district so that you're...
That's right. We can do that.
Is there other discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Gerber?
Aye.
Barr?
Aye.
Pass?
Aye.
Hobson?
Hobson.
Aye.
Gee, don't keep us in suspense.
Aye. I'm sorry.
Aye.
Berger?
No.
Williams?
Aye.
Mayor Chatterley?
Aye. House Bill 2043 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We need a carrier on that. Representative Hess, do you want that? What? You want it?
The proponents had asked, Mr. Chair, that I carry the bill, but I'm certainly willing to
The
chair requires.
Case, in that case.
I'd be happy to co-carry it.
No. That's I was just picking a name. Were you counting on it?
No.
Okay. Williams, it is. Okay, so we'll close public hearing, House Bill 2043. Now, let me request unanimous consent to temporarily return to work session on House Bill 2168 to allow Representative Williams to cast his delinquent vote. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Representative Williams, we pass that out unanimously. Do you?
Vote aye.
Vote aye. Okay. Same on House Bill, close work session then on 2168. Same on House Bill 3033. Chair request. Consent to reopen the work session on that to allow Representative Williams to vote. That was a motion to move the bill without recommendation to Ways and Means. How do you vote? Aye. Same then to reopen the work session on House Bill 3183. That's the single sales formula bill. That passed out unanimously. This is to reopen to allow Representative Williams to vote. Any objection? Hearing none. Representative Williams?
I vote aye.
Votes aye. Close the work session on House Bill 3183. And that brings us down to 3184, if my sequence is correct. Let's open up. We have Representative Kefouri on this one. Do you want to see where we can find her?
That's up there.
She's signed up anyway. Okay. All right. Well, then I'll bang the gavel slowly. Matt? Well, we have a break in the action. What'd you do? Soccer.
Oh, dangerous.
Okay. Let's open a public hearing on House Bill 3184. Elizabeth.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. This morning, Representative Kefouri's office brought down the Dash 2 amendment, so I did not have time to write up a summary of it. I think I'll just go through the original bill and then the Dash 1 and then talk a little bit about the Dash 2. Basically, what the bill is dealing with is the child care division tax credit. So basically, it's adding some technical changes to that, in particular dealing with the tax credit marketer that they want to add that particular language to be able to get someone to market these credits. So it's adding a definition for high-quality child care and tax credit marketer. It changes the responsibility of the child care division of the Employment Department pertaining to the child care division contribution tax credit. It removes, then, the child care division's responsibility to establish regions to determine the total amount of the tax credit certificates within each region in the state that facilitates the planning of the credit program. It's authorizing the child care division to enter into a contract with a tax credit marketer to advertise the tax credits to taxpayers. It's raising then the threshold from $80,000 to $85,000 of the median income of a region for the child care clients of home-based businesses in order for the community agency to be selected to receive child care division funds. It extends then the sunset on the credit out with the Dash 1 amendments. It extends it out 1 year to January 1st, 2008. It makes other technical corrections and applies to tax years beginning January 1st, 2003. Now, just so everyone's clear, this was a credit that was established for those contributions made to the Child Care Division of the Oregon Employment Department during the 2001 legislature, so we haven't seen any data yet on this particular credit. And the purpose was really to provide a funding pool for child care that would improve the quality of care for children of low and moderate income families in Oregon. The Child Care Division issues these tax credit certificates to taxpayers who wish to utilize the credit. The total value of the tax credit certificate may not exceed $500,000 per year. That is not changed in this bill. There is a four-year carry-forward on this credit, and there, under current law, there is a sunset date on this credit of January 1st, 2007. So with the Dash 1 amendment, basically it was making some technical changes that are similar to the Dash 2, but what it was also doing was extending the sunset date of the tax credit out just 1 year instead of 2 years. So it was extending it from 2007 to 2008, and it was applying beginning January 1st, 2004, instead of January 1st, 2003. Now, with the Dash 2 amendment, it's, again, giving authorization for a rulemaking authority to the Child Care Division Department of the Employment Department, and then also allowing them to select a tax credit marketer who agrees to market the tax credits to taxpayers instead of the language about advertising. But the other components of it in ORS 357A-706 seem to be similar to what is under the existing law changes, with the exception of them deleting the, on page 3, the Dash 2 amendments is deleting lines 1 through 33, deleting this additional section of existing law. But with the Dash 2 is it does not have language dealing with the sunset. So the sunset date would be as it is under the existing bill, which would be the January 1st of 2000, going out 2 years of 2008. Or going out to 2009, and then it would begin on January 1st, 2004, instead of 2003.
Okay.
So that's what you have.
Thank you.
Bottom line, we passed this last session. The Attorney General's, there were some technical difficulties that made it so that it was not able to be implemented.
Correct.
This bill was introduced to correct those technical problems,
right.
And now we have some amendments that you're going to tell us about that
correct those technical problems.
Correct those technical problems. Yeah, please.
Thank you, Representative Deborah Cafori. You summed it up correctly. You gave my speech for me this morning. First of all, I want to say it's so good to be back in Revenue Committee.
It's nice to have you.
Yes, we had the good foresight last session to pass this bill unanimously, and unfortunately, once we got into implementing it, found out that there were some technical problems the Attorney General's office had. So that was our goal, is to fix this. There's no
policy changes.
It's still the idea is still to make high-quality child care more affordable and more accessible for Oregonians, and I think that's a worthy cause. It was last session. We all voted for it. I would agree that it's a worthy cause this session as well.
Okay. I think I just wanted there's a lot of language and bolding and bracketing on the Dash 1s and Dash 2s, but again, the underscore, there's no policy change here that just carries forward the policy that was unanimous in both the House and the Senate last session? Okay. And to the extent there's a revenue impact, is that only because, is there a revenue impact? I mean, is it just because it wasn't implemented in this last biennium?
Chairman Shatterly, the revenue impact is from the extension of the sunset.
Yeah, but that's out. That's out.
Nothing
of the,
this biennium.
Nothing in this biennium. Okay. Okay.
And we actually saved money last biennium.
Yes, we didn't use it. That's right. Who wants to go next?
Chair Shatterly, members of the committee, I'm Rebecca Shine, and I serve on the State Advisory Committee to the Child Care Division on this tax credit program. And as you've heard, it was enacted unanimously. These are just technical changes. Just by way of background for those of you who weren't here when it passed last session, the main goal is to garner private resources from the private sector to benefit child care in the state that would otherwise be untapped. And the funds generated by that those tax credit contributions would go to do three things: increase the revenue of child care businesses, decrease parent costs, and improve the quality of care. And as Kafori said, Representative Kafori said, we encountered some obstacles in the interpretation of the Attorney General when we try to implement it, and it was recommended to us that we make these technical changes, and I'd be happy to answer any questions specific to these changes.
Okay.
Chair Shatterly, members of the committee, I'm Laura Smith, here today representing Enterprise Foundation. I would just like to clarify that we'd recommend that the committee move the Dash 2 amendments, which is a combination of the Dash 1 and our last amendment that just allowed the Child Care Division to have a little leeway in setting the value of this tax credit based on a decision we're still awaiting from the IRS. And that's the reason that we have all these amendments. So I hope there's not too much confusion in it, but the Dash 2 is what we're...
But there's a high level of trust. So are you saying then the Dash 2s replace the Dash 1s? We don't need them both?
Correct.
And what's the tie-in to the IRS?
We are waiting to hear back from the IRS. We asked for an opinion back in December asking if a contributor could take the tax credit and in addition take the charitable contribution tax credit, the federal charitable contribution tax credit. The first things we're hearing is that, yes, that will happen, but we haven't gotten an official thing from the IRS yet, so we're awaiting that. So we're allowing the Child Care Division to have the ability, if they do get the contribution, instead of giving the full amount, it would be like $1.50 back for every dollar. We think that's a little excessive. It would allow the Child Care Division by rule to go and lower the tax credit, so it would be an appropriate amount.
Okay. Questions for any of these witnesses then?
I want to make one clarification. I think you're getting passed out the correct Dash 2s. There should be 4 pages. In the Dash 2 amendments.
You are right. Thank you.
Ooh. Oh, yes. 1 and 4. Yeah.
2 and 3 are helpful.
As I said, yes. High level of trust. Okay. Are there questions for Representative Corey or Ms. Shine or Ms. Smith? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
Anybody
you.
Else wish to testify? Deborah.
Good morning, Mr. Chair,
Good
members
morning.
Of the committee, Deborah Buchanan, Department of Revenue. Mr. Chair, the comments about the IRS bring to mind that there also is a question with the state as to whether or not the contributions to this program would be deductible for Oregon purposes as well as qualifying for the credit. We did ask for some advice from the Attorney General's office. Their interpretation is that they would not, because in order to qualify for the charitable contribution deduction, there needs to be no expectation of a significant benefit coming back, and that the fact that they're receiving a credit for the same dollars that are being contributed means that they may not qualify for the deduction for Oregon. I don't know whether you want to clarify your intent in this bill as to whether they should be allowed both, whether there would need to be some modification in the statute that would provide they would
be some further amendment?
Possibly.
Perhaps
on the Senate.
Which one of you is best equipped to respond to that? Would that be Ms. Smith and Ms. Shine? So that's the issue then. Do they do we need to make clear that this either is or is not qualifying contribution for both a credit and a deduction? And I would think we'd probably not want to qualify a contribution. Well, go ahead.
That's why we put the amendment, the dash two, covered that by allowing the child care division to set the ratio appropriately. So if the IRS does come down with the decision that no, it doesn't qualify, then we'll leave the ratio at what it was set at last year.
But Deborah Buchanan, you're saying there's a separate issue as to a state, irrespective of what the IRS might rule.
Mr. Chair, I think that's correct because it may qualify for IRS purposes. They're not receiving a credit at the federal level. So even though it may qualify for the deduction there, then the question is, what about the state treatment? That's where they're getting the credit. And the Attorney General has advised that perhaps you could not have the deduction and the credit both at the state level because you don't have that charitable intent. You're getting your money back through a credit.
Ms. Shine?
Yes. Just for clarification, actually, we're not looking for a deduction at the state level. So I just wanted to be clear. We're just looking for the credit as it is at the state level and potentially a federal deduction, but not a state deduction. Does that help at all?
Yes, that does.
Does that help enough, or do we need an amendment to clarify that intent?
Mr. Chair, that statement of intent, I think, is consistent with the Attorney General's advice that they probably would not qualify for a deduction on the Oregon return if they are claiming the credit for Oregon purposes.
Okay. Without a further amendment? You're saying that statement is sufficient for your purposes?
I believe it is, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Dexter Johnson has obviously been following the action this morning. Let's bring him forward. Dexter, you obviously have something to add to this conversation. I think they're clear as to what the intent is. The question is, do we need an amendment to make that more explicit for Oregon tax purposes?
Mr. Chair, members, good morning. Dexter Johnson, Legislative Council Office. I actually just wanted to, I would have a little drafting concern if that you run the risk of actually creating a double deduction at the state level mm-hmm. if you explicitly say this will be the charitable deduction for state purposes will be allowed because we're still waiting on what the IRS decides for federal purposes. So
I see.
So if you then create it, you'd have to do this in the form of some kind of additional subtraction. And if the IRS decides this is okay, then you have the explicit additional subtraction here, you may end up creating an even larger benefit.
Interesting.
So, Chair.
Yeah.
I know this issue came up, not on this bill, but on other tax credit bills in the last session about doing just a tax credit but not a deduction. I didn't know that states had the, power to obligate the federal government in terms of what may or may not be deducted from federal taxes.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hass, they do not. The IRS will decide whether the donation is described in this legislation constitutes a donation that qualifies for charitable contribution deduction under Section 170 of the Internal Revenue Code without regard to what the state says.
Okay. Representative Barnhart.
I'm a little slow this morning, I think, Mr. Chair. Let me see if I understand what we're mm-hmm. talking about here. If the IRS says, yes, indeed, a contribution is deductible, then we, by rule, will establish the credit in such a way that no one ends up getting more than all of their money back. Is that the object of this process, of this rule, or of this bill? And if they don't, then the credit will be larger because they're not getting the federal deduction.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, the purpose of the grant of rulemaking authority is to adjust the value of the credit so that there is some sort of financial return. So it will be more than 100%, I believe. I believe that's the intent. But it would be up to the child care division to, but not this 150% that if you said nothing and the IRS said we will allow this deduction, that would resolve. There will, my understanding is, the intent is that there will be some financial return, but it will be established by the child care division.
Well, I guess it's that expectation of return that's the issue with the IRS
yes.
in terms of whether it would qualify. So
yes.
that's a given. So now it's a question of what that what rate of expectation is permissible under the IRS rules.
Yes.
Okay. But for our overall revenue purposes, we still have the limitation in the law. That is the $500,000 per year limitation on the revenue impact of this. It's just a question of allocating that among the contributors.
Mr. Chair, that's correct, except note that the $500,000 is just on the credit, so if there is an additional deduction impact, that wouldn't be reflected in that $500,000 figure.
Questions?
Again, I'm having trouble getting this into my head.
Okay. Representative Kafuri is coming up.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, is part of the object of this to get the federal government to contribute toward this process, or why aren't we just putting this in a in an appropriation instead?
Okay. First of all, the issue that Deborah Buchanan from the Department of Revenue brought up, we were not anticipating it being a charitable contribution at the state level. So I think we can make that clear that that's not our case and move that piece off the table. That should solve one question in people's minds. Two, the credit will be more than a one-for-one. I mean, that's the reason why people will contribute. But we would appreciate it if the federal government would pick up part of the tab, yes. And why is it not an appropriation? Well, I think that goes back to the age-old discussion between tax credits and appropriations.
To some extent, tax credits are appropriations. Okay. So do I understand then that your statement is that you didn't anticipate or expect or intend that this would be taken as a deduction in addition to a credit?
Correct.
For state tax purposes. Okay, and now you're raising your eyebrows.
Mr. Chair, the bill and the existing law basically takes the position that whatever the federal law is, the state law will follow on that. So that would, in fact, allow for a deduction if it is allowable for federal purposes, for state purposes as well. And both the amendment and the existing law contemplate that.
Okay.
If you did not want that, there would have to be this explicit add back, which is there are a number of credits that have that kind of provision in there, an add back of the amount that is the basis of the credit.
And would that add back then firm up the revenue impact at $500,000? Because
yes.
You'd only be calculating the cost of the credit and not this unknown on the deduction.
Yes, it would firm up that.
Okay. Would you be satisfied with one more amendment to make that explicit?
Sure. We would be happy to do whatever it takes to make it beautiful.
We're trying to help.
And work. I know. We based this on the affordable housing tax credit, and there's been some difficulties implementing it, but, I mean, the goal is worthy, and we think one other thing, Representative Barnhart, is that our goal is to attract money from business and investors that hasn't been there before, and that's why I think it's somewhat confusing to do, but it's worked very well in the affordable housing arena, and we think that the opportunity will be there to work very well in the child care arena as well.
Okay. I'm thinking one more amendment might be appropriate just to settle that issue. Deborah Buchanan, would that work for you? Okay. Then if we could get that back this week, chance of that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll reschedule this maybe for Thursday or Friday, and we'll get you a bill.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for anybody on House Bill 3184 before we let them all go away? Does anybody else want to testify on House Bill 3184 before I send us all away? All right. Well, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3184. We'll see that back with further amendments for work session only, so we don't have to get permission for a public hearing. Paul? Elizabeth? Okay. And with that committee, good quick work today. Hopefully our work sessions will be just like this week, having heard all these bills and getting some of them kicked out now. With that, I think we are done with our business for the day, so we will be adjourned.